short lives. At 9 a.m. tomorrow on Water World, host Kristen Yount reports on water policy in Pakistan, where she recently spent a two-week internship, and on the situation in Detroit and what people can do to protect their drinking water supply. At 10 a.m., it'll be Chris Andre. She'll host Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And at 10:15, it'll be Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 a.m., tune in for a Radio Geekly. They're going to dive into a discussion of the progressive movement within geek culture. They'll be chatting about the bending of gender roles, about embracing the LGBTQ and POC communities, and more besides. Thanks to all of you KABU members for your generous support in our recent fall drive. If you missed it, you can still contribute and become a member by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KABU News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Homelessness is a constant issue in Portland, both on the streets and in arguments over city policy. With a constant focus on what hasn't worked, what must be done, and what can be done, it is easy to overlook the organizations that have been working with the ever-shifting homeless population for years. On today's KABU News In Depth, KABU reporter Karen James takes a look at one of those organizations, Outside In, located in Southwest Portland.
Portland's Outside In on 13th Avenue offers many services for homeless youth and other marginalized individuals. With me are Tess Annewalt from Outside In's Development Department and Tamara Bartlett, Supervisor of Project Erase, a tattoo removal program. Tess, talk about the services at Outside In.
Yes, thank you so much. Outside In is a nonprofit social service agency based here in Portland. We opened our doors over 45 years ago here, and we work to help homeless youth and other marginalized people move towards improved health and self-sufficiency. And we do that in a lot of ways through a lot of programs. We have our youth services, which includes on-site housing as well as community housing, case management, comprehensive education programs that are individually specific. And then we also are a federally qualified health center. So we are seeing roughly 6,000 different individuals every year in our health center through about 28,000 different visits. And our services at the health center are available to people of all ages. And we offer everything from comprehensive individualized primary care plans to programs to help folks sign up for insurance and health insurance. We have acupuncture, chiropractic, transgender health services, syringe exchange, women's health care. We're really just trying to be there for the folks in the community that need us.
Give an example of the type of services you would provide to a youth who comes to Outside In for help.
You know, and youth end up on the streets for many, many different reasons, and our services are really varied for that exact reason. But usually for us, the first point of contact would be our day program. So youth are going to be coming in to access food, showers, laundry services, just basic needs. And moving on from that, for us, it's really about establishing relationships and providing services for them. So it can look very, very different. And I think that part of what makes our program so special is that it is very different for each youth, but we have an alternative school with customized education plans for each youth where they can get their diplomas and GEDs. We have job training programs. Virginia Woolf is one of our services that we have for youth, and we use that as a job training site for our youth. We have on-site housing for youth, and some of those units are specifically set aside for youth who are parenting, so the youth are able to live there with their kiddos those. We have a parenting specialist on staff who's able to work individually with youth who are parenting and living with their kiddos on site. With our services and with numbers within homeless youth populations, we see a disproportionate representation of LGBTQ youth. Our numbers represent the nationwide numbers, which is that around 40% or more of our youth identify LGBTQ, and many of these young folks have been kicked out or pushed out of their families and communities because of their identification. So a lot of our services and a lot of the way our programming is has always been with the goal and intent of being particularly, well, for being a safe space for these individuals.
With me also is Tamara Bartlett, supervisor of Project Erase. Tamara, talk about Outside In's tattoo removal program.
So Project Erase is a tattoo removal program. It's been around since 2002 at Outside In, and it started really as an idea because Oregon Psychiatric Association did a study on youth gang violence. And as a part of that study, it kind of came up that tattoos were such a barrier for youth who wanted to leave their gang life or leave gang violence. So Outside In kind of acquired a laser and started this program for tattoo removal. And so it's been around for a long time. It's run by volunteer doctors. Currently, we have about 40 volunteer doctors from all different specialties in their daily life. So they come to Outside In once a month and they remove tattoos for a really low cost for people who have tattoos that are a barrier in their life.
So what are some of the reasons people would want to remove a tattoo?
Sure. I mean, there are so many reasons. For the population we see at Project Erase, which is generally low income, a lot of people that we see have gang-related tattoos, so symbols and markers of a lifestyle that they lived, whether in prison or on the streets as a part of a gang. People have hate-related tattoos, symbols of hate on their bodies. We have a lot of survivors of domestic violence that have names of abusers still tattooed on their bodies. And then we also see a lot of people who have tattoos that cause problems in their daily life, like low self-esteem. They're having a hard time getting a job, even in Portland, where tattoos are everywhere. It's hard to get a job with tattoos. So there's a lot of reasons.
Do you only provide this service for former gang members?
No, actually, our tattoo removal program, Project Erase, it stands out because it's one of the only tattoo removal programs in the country that doesn't have a barrier like that. We don't have restrictions about what kind of tattoo you have, and we don't have restrictions about what your age is, or you don't need to do community service. The only requirement we have is that you have to be below 200% of the federal poverty level.
And what is 200% of the federal poverty level?
Yeah, so for one person, that means making below $1,980 a month, so it's about $23,760 a year. So as long as you're making below that, you qualify for our services, regardless of what your tattoo is or your reasons for wanting to remove it.
So what are the costs?
So at Outside In, we currently have a sliding scale for tattoo removal. So it's between $25 and $55 per treatment. So we're not measuring like a lot of other clinics do. We're just charging a flat fee of $25 to $55 based on your income.
Explain measuring a tattoo.
A lot of tattoo removal clinics will measure the size of your tattoo, and that helps determine how much it'll cost to remove it. So by square inch, it often costs at a lot of for-profit tattoo removal clinics anywhere between $50 to $150, even more, per square inch. So you can imagine that a big tattoo could cost thousands of dollars to remove.
And Outside In charges what?
So we charge $25 to $55 per treatment, so a sliding scale based on your income, no matter what size the tattoo is.
And how long are the treatments, and do you do it in one sitting?
So the treatments are 20 minutes long each. It takes between 6 to 15 treatments to fully remove a tattoo. We actually just got a brand new awesome laser, so we're estimating more like 5 to 12. But the treatments are spaced out by 6 to 8 weeks. So it's a long process. It can take a year or more sometimes to remove a tattoo. And those kind of depend on what kind of ink was used, how deep the tattoo is, your skin, your body's immune system, lots of factors.
Tamara, does it hurt?
Yes. Yes, we're pretty upfront about that. It's not a comfortable process. At Outside In, we do have a medical-grade chiller, which is a machine that helps with the pain during the treatment. And the treatments are pretty quick, so we find that most of our clients don't have a problem coming in and getting it done. They want it bad enough.
How many tattoos or people do you see each year?
Yeah, so we're seeing about 900 unique clients every year. I can't even estimate how many tattoos. So many. Thousands.
And they follow through? They come back?
Yeah, people do. A lot of people come back and see the whole process through. It doesn't take the same amount of time for everybody, so one person might come a few times and then be done. And some people have to keep coming for a year to fully remove the tattoo. But yeah, when it's gone, it looks like nothing was ever there. No remnants of a tattoo at all. It's just your skin.
I understand you actually go into the prisons and talk about this tattoo removal program.
Yeah, so we've gone to a number of the prisons in Oregon and attended a bunch of their transition fairs. So talking to current inmates about the process and about how to access our services, and we find that so many people have tattoos in prison. So they're usually really excited about the prospect of coming into our program when they're released.
And can people in prison apply before they release back into the community?
Yes, and we hope that they do. So prison transition coordinators have applications on hand often, and if not, they're on our website. So the prison transition coordinators could go ahead and download the application from our website. We prefer that people apply while they're still in prison. That way, when they're released from prison, they can come right to Outside In and start removing their tattoos as quickly as possible. All the information is on our website at outsidein.org. You can check it out under Medical Services Tattoo Removal.
Then what are the steps?
The first step is to fill out the application. Then the coordinator will contact you, and there's just a few more steps, and then you're in the program. It's really a low-barrier program.
And do they need a referral?
So we currently are requiring a referral from a medical provider to access services. So if you don't have a medical provider, you can come to Outside In, where we do primary care, and we can give you the referral at Outside In. And if you do have a medical provider, you can get the referral signed by them, send it over to us, and then we can get you scheduled for tattoo removal.
And how long after they apply can they get in to start removal?
Sure. Once we get the application and we get the referral, it's within days to weeks. There's really not a huge barrier for that. We're totally open. We're accepting new patients for tattoo removal, and we're ready to go once we get those two things.
And can youth under age 18 come in for this service?
Yes. After 15, you can consent to a medical procedure, and we have really low barriers at Outside In. So as long as a youth is accompanied by a case manager, we can do tattoo removal. And they still need the referral from a medical provider, which we can also help out with at the Outside In clinic.
What is the age group that you're usually seeing, and are there women that are coming to the clinic for tattoo removal?
Absolutely. I mean, at least 50% of our patients are women. And the age group really also runs the gamut. We're from 15 up until 65. A lot of our patients right now are between the ages of 25 to 35, but we still see youth, we see adults, everybody.
Talk about some of the unusual tattoos that you removed at the clinic.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so a lot of the tattoos we see have words I can't even say on the radio. But we definitely have a lot of just random, interesting tattoos, too. Any designs or artwork that people don't want anymore could be causing them some self-esteem issues or problems getting jobs. We remove those, too. So it really runs the gamut.
How does someone feel once they remove, say, a hate or swear word?
Yeah, so I can't speak for everybody, but I can say I've heard a lot of success stories and a lot of people who they remove their tattoos and it's just this huge sense of relief, a chance to start over. We've had one man who had tattoos all over his face. His entire face was covered. He hadn't seen his family in 20 years without those tattoos. So by the time he reunited with them, when his tattoos were removed, it was like a completely new person, a chance to start over. They saw him as who he wanted to be seen as instead of who he was before. So it was really a beautiful moment.
And Tess, how can people get in touch with Outside In?
Yeah, we encourage people to visit us online at outsidein.org. And if folks want to get in touch with us around setting up appointments and coming in, they can also reach us at 503-535-3800.
Tess Annawalt from Outside In's Development Department and Tamara Bartlett, Supervisor of Project ERASE. Thank you so much. For KBOO News, I'm Karen James.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:58. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
You know you love KBOO's programming, but did you know you can help inform decisions about new programs on KBOO?
support evaluating shows to ensure programming excellence, as well as help process feedback about shows from our listeners? Well, you can when you join the KBOO Programming Advisory Committee. All you need to be is a KBOO member. Attend monthly meetings on the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. at KBOO, and commit 5 hours a month to work on committee-related tasks. The Programming Advisory Committee works alongside KBOO programming staff to live out our programming charter. You can find out more at kboo.fm/committees. See you the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. KBOO needs you.
Hello, KBOO members. Thank you for being part of our amazing community. It takes all of us to manage this great community resource, and the role played by the KBOO Board of Directors is essential. Please consider applying to become a KBOO board member if you want to help serve our community and put your gifts and talents to good use. There is a time commitment of about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a current KBOO member. To apply, go to kboo.fm/2016 Board of Directors, or stop by the station and pick up a paper copy. The deadline to apply is October 15th. We are looking for folks who love KBOO, who are committed to our community, and want to carry forward KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. KBOO needs you. Apply today.
You know you love KBOO's programming, but did you know you can help inform decisions about new programs on KBOO, support evaluating shows to ensure programming excellence, as well as help process feedback about shows from our listeners? Well, you can when you join the KBOO Programming Advisory Committee. All you need to be is a KBOO member. Attend monthly meetings on the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. at KBOO, and commit 5 hours.